Now, I know it seems like the end of the world. We average about 5 calls a night from guys your age whose mother or sisters catch them masturbating.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. This is Season 1, Episode 9, The Gentle Art of Listening, with your host, Tara Ariano, and special guest host, John Ramos.
Dave.
What?
90210 line! Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Tara.
So happy to have you for this.
Yes,
episode.
Me too, for this wild ride coming up.
Oh my God. It's a poor choice of words, John.
Yep.
It really is unfortunate. All right.
Well, might as well give the listeners a taste of what they're in
That's
for.
That's not any better. Oh my God. All right. Let's start with the storyline in The Gentle Art of Listening that is kind of, let's say, PG-13 rated, at least.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
Given its conclusion, yes.
Yes. So broadly, we could call this storyline Brandon's love life, because there's kind of a lot going on. But we start at school, where we find out it is grudge week, in clip number 2.
Hey, Steve. Brandon, did you sign up for the Battle of the Beverlys?
Oh, I would have, but since I was knight, it was difficult. What about you?
I'm in the co-ed tug of war.
Yeah, well, aren't we all?
Hey, Dylan.
Gentlemen,
I didn't think grudge week could be your kind of thing.
Grudge week is every guy's thing.
What? Well, I don't get it.
Well, a lot of the freshman girls get into the spirit of the scene and try to pick up older guys.
Look, looks like Minnesota's already got a little puppy over there.
I don't know where to start. There's so many questions and complaints already.
Oh my God, for real. Well, character-wise, I would not have thought Dylan, of all people, would be, like, into freshman girls.
No.
Like, he seems like, you know, especially since Brandon goes to him about advice about older women later, It just seems off-brand for him.
It's a very Steve line. It's weird. It's like they gave Steve's lines to Dylan just to have him
right
in the scene. It's weird.
Then I don't understand why Brandon is so freaked out that this girl is checking him out. And I gift a photo. I gift his faces, and they're like, they're kind of they're so bad that they almost come around to like winning me over a bit.
He's really stink facey, and this girl is like, you know, there's nothing weird about her except that she's staring at him, but she looks like Bethany Frankel Jr. because I got a picture of her too. Yeah, he's freaked out by this girl.
Yeah, she's cute. I don't know. I mean, it's not my thing, but
I mean, not that his reaction would be okay if she wasn't cute, but at the same time,
right,
she's like, you're not interested. Who cares? Anyway, so at the Peach Pit, this happens. There's really no way to preface it. Clip number 3.
Oh, my God.
Here you go, gentlemen.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Brandon goes to the kitchen.
Hey, Ned.
He's getting a
massage.
You're
going to have to keep it down. You're giving the customers the wrong idea.
Oh, my muscles haven't felt this appreciated since I took my last R&R in Bangkok. Oh,
what are you doing?
Oh,
acupressure.
Oh, is that like acupuncture?
Well, kissing cousins. Both techniques have been used for centuries in China to reduce pain.
Oh.
Anesthetize the body experience.
Yeah?
The main difference is that with acupuncture, you use needles. Whereas with acupressure, you stimulate the trigger points with the tips of your fingers.
Ooh.
And the texture of your touch.
Cool.
You're next. Huh?
I wish. I got customers.
Well, we'll have to schedule a private session for you then. Won't we?
No.
It's just so not okay. Right down to this is one of my big complaints with this season. I feel like it must have gotten better afterward, but the sound design on a lot of scenes is so off.
Yeah.
Like when extras are talking, they sound super loud.
Really loud, yeah.
And I don't know if Nat was intended to be pseudo-owing through the entire restaurant, but that's sure what it sounds like. And oh god.
We should also say of his masseuse friend, this is this girl Nina who used to be a waitress at the Peach Pit when she was in high school. She's now returned. She's back in town from wherever she was. We both had the same it's shorthand for her because she looks like John, why don't you say it?
Chinatown Cheryl Lee.
Indeed. She looks so much like
it really is
like,
uncanny how much her face looks like Cheryl Lee.
I know. And later she tells Brandon about this treatment she wants to do on him that involves him being wrapped in plastic that cannot be an accident. But anyway.
No, I hope not. God, maybe we're giving them too much credit. Maybe. Also, her talk about her technique, like, she's not using the tips of her fingers on that at all.
No, she's digging in with her thumbs like every other masseuse does.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting up. Like, it's not like she can really do that much. And also, I don't want to know which of Nat's muscles got a workout on his last R&R in Bangkok.
Oh.
With a ladyboy.
It's really not okay, Nat. Really not okay. No. And, I mean, the massage looks like, you know, your standard issue like you'd get when you're getting your shoe shined.
Or getting a manicure, like when they're waiting for your nails to dry. Anyway.
Right.
There's nothing special about it. He's really overselling it. Classic Joey Tata. Moving on.
Ugh.
So they do schedule this second private session that happens off screen, but Brandon has to describe it in disgusting detail to Steve in clip number 4.
So what happened then, Stump?
Well, then Nina told me to close my eyes and relax and center my energy, which, of course, I did.
I bet you did.
And then she started rubbing the balls of my feet.
She rubbed the balls of your feet?
We're talking Major League prime time heaven here, man. The moment she touched me, I got this warm tingling sensation all over my body, just like she said I would. Well, after that, I put my shoes and socks back on and I helped Nat close down the joint.
What about Nina? She left. She left without you?
Yeah.
Oh, you blew it.
What are you talking about?
She was coming on to you, Brandon.
Oh, you're crazy, man.
Brandon?
You're crazy. Nina's not interested in someone my age. She's a woman. She's traveled all through Asia and the South Pacific.
How old is she, Brandon?
She's old. She worked at the Peach Pit all the time she was in high school.
Well, how old is she?
Well, I don't know. She's got to be at least 23. You blew it. You blew it.
A couple things. Well, first off, Brandon and Steve start this conversation in the quad, and then there's a cut with no break in the conversation to them walking inside. I don't understand. For no clear story reason either. Mm-hmm. I mean, they teleported, but it's not like they, at the end of the scene, they need to be at that destination for any reason. So I didn't get that. Like, good use of money there. Let's say Nina's performance is maybe a little... I mean, we're not going to be very PC in this episode anyway, so let's just call it a little delayed.
It's hard to say because she's a hippie, so they're all,
let's say
they have a baseline dumbness level that might not be medical.
She's not projecting a particularly older woman air, is my point.
Oh, definitely not. No.
So,
The next time we see her, it's because she's just come from a session in the sensory deprivation tank because it's the early 90s, they're in L.A., and obviously.
Oh, God. I'm going to save up my comments for that scene.
Well, I didn't clip it because I just had that gif that I sent you this morning.
Oh, all right. Going back to the Peach Pit, I mean, first off, was she giving Brandon this foot massage in front of the customers, or did she wait around until the whole thing closed down and then give him this foot massage? Either way, super weird.
Mm-hmm.
Then talking about the delayed thing, she reveals, like, in the sensory deprivation chamber that her most primal desire is peach pie, and she's been dreaming about it ever since she moved back to L.A., which, like, unless you moved back yesterday... What the fuck?
I know. Also, you were at the Peach Pit yesterday. Like, you could have had 10 pieces of pie then. It probably in the time you were waiting to massage Brandon's feet for him.
I mean, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt that maybe it's Nat's peach pie that she was dreaming about, even though she doesn't say it. She could say it, but it's just super weird. And again, does not add to my impression of her as a rocket scientist.
Indeed. So she describes this treatment that she wants to do to Brandon, the thing where she rubs oils on him and then wraps him in plastic. And this convinces Brandon, because she needs volunteers to do it because she's studying how to do it. So this convinces Brandon that Steve is right. He did blow it, and she is warm for his teeny tiny form. So he needs some advice from Dylan in clip number 5.
Swells were breaking 3 to 5 feet this morning. You going out with me again?
Oh, probably not, now that I'm on the verge of making it with an older woman.
Slim, I'm impressed. Who's the lucky lady?
Her name's Nina. She used to work at the Peach Pit. She's hot, but in an organic kind of way. Kind of like Deborah Winger.
Have fun.
Hey, listen, you've been with an older woman before, right?
Do you want to pause it?
It's not my style to kiss and...
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Tell, but what's your question?
Okay. If we, you know, if we do it, is she going to expect me to spend the night?
It's customary, yeah.
That's what I thought she'd say. How am I going to get around my mom?
Minnesota, you'll figure something out.
Wait, just one more thing, real quick.
I ain't going.
Where does my pee-pee go?
How is Babby formed?
That's kind of embarrassing.
No,
it is. Yeah, it is.
No, it is.
Yeah, it is.
No, it is.
Okay, look. What I need to know is, the first time you were with the older woman, you woke up next to her and she was lying there. What'd you say to her?
Would you like a cup of coffee?
That's what I thought.
Dylan, will you buy some condoms for me?
Yeah, he's probably got like a whole crate left over from the one time he did it with Crazy Eyes Minnesota Cheryl.
Oh, her. Like. God. Proto Emily Valentine. Couple things.
Please.
First off, she can't, going back for a second, she can't find customers to treat it. The herbal wrap thing she's talking about would cost like $400 at a spa. No one wants it? Mm. Give me a fucking break. Now, Dylan... I had a realization about Dylan that makes me super love him.
Okay.
Because like in this scene, he's like kind of looking up at the ceiling. He keeps trying to walk away. He gives Brandon like kind of TF answers to his questions. I think he's just trolling Brandon.
I think
what this entire friendship is.
Yes.
And for that, I love this character.
Yeah. I don't know why Brandon thinks he needs advice when any woman would obviously knock him down to get all over that meerkat shirt front and back that he's wearing in the conversation with Dylan. Please check the visual aids. I took pictures of both front and the back. It's not okay. Then we also, speaking of not okay, have to see him dying for Brenda to ask him all about where he's going, and she doesn't take the bait. She's got her own problems, which we will get to.
Yeah, Brenda 2016, just for that moment where she walks away.
I know. Leaving him to do the lick your eyebrows, smooth them down, or lick your fingers. Sorry, you can't lick your eyebrows.
Yeah.
If he could, again, he wouldn't have so many problems getting ladies.
It's true.
Anyway, so Nina comes in her culturally appropriated Indian outfit to pick him up. And then when she takes him back to her dump, we kind of figure out why maybe she's having a hard time finding volunteers if this is where she has to do it. But this is what happens, clip number 6.
Excuse the mess, but it's always like this.
No, I love it.
It's so organic. In a Deborah Winger way.
Quality. Yeah, that's what Richard says too.
Richard?
I thought I heard someone.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey.
Oh. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm swamped. Now I'm better. And swamped.
Oh, wait, before you go, I want you to meet Brandon Walsh.
Hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Brandon's gonna be my guinea pig.
Yeah?
He's letting me do a full herbal wrap on him.
Hey, well, you're in good hands. Nina's the best student I ever had. That's why I fell in love with her.
Richard's teaching holistic medicine at the Maxwell Institute. And he's finishing up his doctorate at USC.
Great.
Oh, wait, before I forget. We give this to all our special friends.
The Tibetan Book of the Dead. Thanks.
More like Tibetan Book of the Blue Balls, am I right?
Yeah, I kind of almost give Brandon props for his stink face here. If he weren't getting like a super awesome spa treatment out of it, but I mean, whatever. Yeah, we know you'll get laid in the future. I just wanted to go back for a minute when she comes into the peach pit and gives him these like super coquettish looks for like two straight minutes. Yeah. And it's like she's being told she's modeling badly, basically. She's not acting.
Yes.
And it's just super weird. And she also had said that she'd pick him up after school, and it's now it's like 9:30.
Yeah.
But here, two things. One, technical, because I can't resist pointing out how bad this show is technically. But like when Richard says he has to go work, he starts turning toward Brandon instead of toward the exit. And then he's like surprised to see Brandon there. Like, oh, it's just weird. It's terribly blocked. My reaction to the scene was that I kind of wish like it had been a swinging situation instead of just her being married to another holistic dweeb.
Yes, that does seem to be where it's going, especially when she says our special friends. Like it seems like it's going to be a volume of swingology or something.
Yeah, but I would have at least laughed, but nope.
He obviously there's a beaded curtain in the doorway. I assume you can hear it, or if you did, you assumed that's what it was, because of course it was. And I don't care how much of a hippie you are, don't have someone over to your house and then be like, it's always like this. Fucking clean up. You're doing a spa treatment in there. Anyway. So the next day at school, Brandon has to tell Steve that he washed out, which obviously when you see him in his mustard and relish shirt and pants, you can see why. And then
is it another mock turtleneck?
No, it's a button-down blouse. Okay. But then I guess what this whole experience has taught him is that it's rough to have a crush on someone who doesn't return your feelings. So he goes over to say hi to Lucy and gives her the thrill of a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's typical of the show that it gives Brandon props for learning this lesson, which really is just treating someone, another human being, with a little kindness. Like, he needs to go through this whole thing to be able to do it. And then this, the other thing about this is that this very special lesson gets paid forward to Dead Scott,
right.
Which shows, like, how little the show thinks of him even now. Like, he's getting this loser stalker's, like, runoff, basically.
Pretty much. So that's the Brandon's love life storyline. Moving on to the A-plot, and I just should say, in all seriousness, this is a plot line about rape. It is handled horribly, so we are going to be treating it comedically because the show basically does. Obviously, rape is extremely serious. We are not making light of rape or real rape survivors, but none of that is what happens in this episode, so please don't send us angry emails. So we start with, as we know, it's Grudge Week. We get a shot of the most covered cheerleaders in history. For some reason, Brandon makes eye contact with one of them, sort of, even though she's cheering. It's Lisa Dean Ryan from Doogie Howser, MD. And she's cheering like a blind girl. Time this episode starts, I always think that's going to be the plot. Like, Brandon meets a blind girl, but then like they have no contact for the whole rest of the episode. So it's very weird.
Their squad is really small, right? I think there are only like 10 of them.
It's hard to say because there's a bunch of them that are doing stuff in the foreground. And then she obviously has no cheer skills. So she's in the back with a bunch of other people like just shaking her pom-poms. But Brenda is watching them admiringly. And then Kelly and Donna roll up to take her to the Beverly Center for like the 19th time this week. And when she gets home, Brenda has ennui in clip number 7.
Well, you know how much I like Kelly and Donna. I mean, they're practically my best friends in the world. But how many days in a row can you go shopping before you're declared officially brain dead?
Well, what would you rather be doing?
Oh, that's the thing. When we first got here, I thought I'd try out for cheerleader.
Well, why don't you?
I don't know. All the girls in the squad are in this obnoxious little clique.
Well, what do you want to do?
I want to do something meaningful.
Meaningful?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Andrea Zuckerman volunteers at this place. I think it's called the Rap Line, where they field calls from troubled kids and help them with their problems.
I don't know.
What, it's not meaningful enough for you?
No, it sounds fine. It's just Andrea Zuckerman?
I mean, I kind of feel where she's coming from. First of all, I love that she's downgraded her ambitions have changed from I thought I might try out for cheerleading to I'm going to go volunteer on the rap line, because that's the same.
Well, I mean, it's weird that she'd be deflected from the cheerleading thing, because everyone is into it except for Kelly and Donna, and their snobbery seems really misplaced given mm-hmm. how even a lot of the other popular kids are like so into the school spirit. But the other thing about this this scene is that I love I picture Shannon Doherty being like, you know, my best friends Kelly and Line.
Yeah, the beginning of the speech,
Donna is her best friend.
I know. She's at the beginning of the speech, she says, you know, I love Donna and Kelly. They're practically my best friends in the world. Like, you met them 10 days ago. Like,
honestly. But at least she and Kelly have had, like, plot lines and screen time, you know.
Right.
I can get that high school thing. It's like, you know, the Johnny come lately is your best friend as long as you spend time with them. But Donna, no.
Yeah. I love Kelly, and Donna is also present. Anyway, so we cut directly from her stink face line reading on Andrea Zuckerman to clip number 8.
Kid can't even write a compound sentence without stumbling over his participles, and he says that I am being too critical.
John?
I gif that because, like, the way this scene unfolds and you can't see is that she she starts this line talking to an extra who is, like, right in her field of vision, and the extra just keeps walking. So the second half of the speech is just given to herself at the same volume, so she ends up coming off like a crazy person. And yeah. I feel that's kind of, you know, coming off the Andrea Zuckerman line, that's kind of shade on the show's part. But
it's true.
Fine.
Yeah, seriously. Because, well, as you'll hear, she's very shitty to Brenda's questioning about the rap line in clip number 9.
Andrea?
Oh, hi, Brenda. What's up?
Brandon mentioned that you volunteered a rap line for teens, and it sounded like something I'd like to get involved with.
You would?
You sound surprised.
Well, no, it's just that you have to go through a long 3-month training program before they even consider letting you work the phones.
Okay.
And you have to be the kind of person who is dedicated.
I know that.
Even if that means giving up most of your social life.
Like I said, I know that.
Good. Then I'll see you there.
Good.
I honestly don't know who's a bigger bitch in this. I kind of love the fact that Brenda's like, well, now I just have to do it out of spite.
Right.
Being such a wad about it.
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying in the last episode, like, it's at least partially justified, but again, like, the Brenda Snotface voice is just like, now it's a Pavlovian reaction. I'm just like, shut up, Brenda.
Yeah, so Brenda and her chaps do indeed show up for the rap line, and she makes a huge gaffe when she's not supposed to be on the phones at all, as we heard. There's a 3-month intensive training program, but then Andrea is answering calls from legit callers when Kelly calls and says, clip number 10.
Donna just told her mom she wants to get a nose job. It's a crisis.
I think that crisis was at least a year ago, actually. Anyway, Brenda's
Donna called from the past and said that she's having a crisis. Oh, God.
Yeah, Brenda is super embarrassed because it seems like Kelly calling has just proven all of Andrea's judgments of her are correct, which they seem like they might kind of be. But then she has to, like, super double down on it after this.
Oh, and she says she tells the I think it's Carol, actually.
Yes.
is the woman who runs the place. And she explains that, like, that was my ride, and she seems to buy that, and then she blows up her own spot. She says she needed the address, which she did not give her.
No, and Carol was like 3 feet away. Like, clearly yeah. She knows you didn't say what the address is. No, like, you could text it to her. Duh.
She was staring at the rest of the room, like, guiltily as she did. That's another thing about this for, like, a teenager. Brenda is a horrible liar in this
She really is. So they go outside. Andrea is bitchy to her some more. And then basically Brenda just digs in her heels even more than before about how she's going to stick with this. But Kelly, of course, is a flake and doesn't show up. So she manages to get a custodian to let her back in. And when she's in there, this. She gets another call and she picks it up because she thinks it's Kelly, and it's super not Kelly in clip 11.
My question is when you're really making it and you tell him to stop and he doesn't, does that mean it's my fault?
No. I mean, I don't think so.
Good job, Brenda.
I guess what I really need to know is, how do you know if you've been raped?
Okay, it's not a funny question. However, that score choice is super hilarious. Like, that's way over the top. Calm it down.
Yeah, it's horror movie more than, yeah. I do think this particular clip is somewhat affecting in spite of itself, but, you know, it's going to get worse.
Well, the problem, it does highlight the fact that, like, there is a reason, clearly, that they make you go through 3 months of training, because Brenda does not know what she is doing and is already saying the wrong thing. And she also keeps trying to get the girl to say who she is, and she won't. but by the time she gets home, she's already, the next day she's having second thoughts about all of this, except then she finds out that Cindy is volunteering at the recycling center and tries to get in on that instead. But Cindy is worried about her spreading herself too thin and says clip number 12.
I spoke to your father tonight, and we are so proud of you for getting involved in this rap line. It sounds like something really positive. I think they're very lucky to have you.
Thanks, Mom.
Sorry, it was the same night, it's not the next day. Clearly, this is the first time in the run of the show that either of the Walshes have been proud of Brenda for anything, so that's strike number one for her against quitting.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't have anything to add.
Okay. So then the actual next day, Brenda goes into school and tries to tell Andrea what happened, and Andrea is a super coos about it in clip 13.
Look, I had a little trouble at the rap line last night.
It's perfectly all right, Brenda.
Yeah, but I need to talk to you about something specific.
Like I said when we first talked, it takes a certain kind of personality to make it through the program.
No, you don't understand.
Yes, I do. You don't have to apologize or feel like you're a bad person. Most of our trainees don't make it through the first week. So you don't have to feel badly about this at all.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, first, one thing before you take over. I don't think that the Andrea who earlier was bitching about the kid who didn't know how to write a sentence without getting his participles mixed up should be saying feel badly.
Very it's true.
Feel bad, and you should know that, editrix. All right, go ahead.
Well, speaking of her being an editor, does she work at this call center from 6 to 10 every night and is a straight-A student and lives in the Valley? Or is it just for the sake of this episode?
Don't answer that.
I already know the question. I already know the answer.
So I know that Brenda definitely never goes back to the rap line. I'm pretty sure that we never hear that Andrea did either.
Right, right. And it's just so sitcom-y the way Andrea isn't listening to what Brenda has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, this time I'm on Brenda's side. You know, it doesn't hurt that she's less naughty about it, but...
Yeah. So volunteering continues. Brenda shows up again. Andrea is shocked to see her. And they're just about to leave. And
it's like a silent movie reaction when Brenda walks in.
It really is over the top. And then just as they're leaving, once again, the phone rings, clip 14.
Rap line, this is Andrea. Who's this?
Do I have to give my name?
No, you don't have to leave your name. But for next time, our hours are 6 to 10. But, well, we have a few minutes. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I called last night.
Oh, last night. Well, who did you talk to?
Brenda.
Could you hold on for a second? Brenda, did you pick up the phone after hours last night?
I'm sorry. I thought it was my ride.
Oh, Brenda.
I can't believe you. Look, I made a mistake. I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen.
How ironic!
The gentle art of listening.
Yeah. Andrea is such a bitch about this, considering that that Carol, the person who runs this line, is standing right there. Like, Andrea, it's really not your place. Clearly, no one thinks you're responsible for Brenda because you were the one who told her about the rap line. Like, if Carol has a problem with it, let Carol take care of it.
Right. Plus, the girl is on the phone.
Girl is on the phone. She's on hold. Whatever it was. And then Brenda has to tell them, it's a possible date rape. So not great that she's called two nights in a row. And then we get more of her story in clip 15.
It happened again.
Take it easy, keyboards.
He didn't even want to kiss me. He just kept doing it. It hurt so bad.
I just want to assure you that we're in no hurry here. You can take as much time as you need. I'm right here for you.
I did it in the parking lot behind the gym.
Was it the same guy?
Yeah. I didn't want to do it, but everyone was partying because we had just won the school competition thing.
You mean Grudge Week? Is that right? Do you go to Beverly High School or West Beverly?
I can't talk about this right now. I'll call you tomorrow.
No, wait!
Okay. First of all, please don't say, I'll call you tomorrow. Like, I'll call you after the next time this happens to me.
Oh, yikes. My God.
I mean, that does happen, but still, don't assume that it is. And also, you can tell from, even though if you can't see it, initially at the beginning of the call, Carol is handing Brenda cards of what to say. And you can tell where she goes off script because, like, you're not supposed to be solving a mystery, Brenda. Like, back off.
And not only that, I mean, the girl just said they won Grudge Week. You'll find out tomorrow who won Grudge Week.
Yeah.
The mystery will be solved. You don't need to chase the girl off the phone.
Right. Yeah, Brenda sucks. However, seeing her on the phone convinces Andrea that Brenda is actually serious about her commitment to the rap line. And the next day, when they meet up in their twin terrible outfits, well, they're not twins, they're just both bad. Brenda has these pants with the waistline like up around her rib cage with suspenders. And Andrea's hideous cardigan is hideous, but I have to say, for the record, I definitely had one. If not that, that was exactly like it. they have a nice detente, even though, you know, Brenda's relationship with Andrea is obviously less on her mind than her relationship with this girl. She says she thinks she knows her.
Although Andrea does say, you handled yourself like a pro. It's like, oh, when she completely panicked? Like, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah. So Andrea decides to quit being a bitch to Brenda. I guess that's the importance of this scene. So later, when Brenda is yelling at Brandon when he's getting ready for his herbal wrap, she's like, I have to be there by 6. Like, why don't you just go from school? I don't understand why they're acting like it's so easy to get everywhere from everywhere else in Los Angeles. But anyway, Brenda barks at some kid who's an actual legit volunteer who went through the three months of training to get him off a call. Like, not your place. And Carol, please step in and intervene and stop Brenda
honestly
from running this shit. But anyway, they go through the whole shift. They wait around. No one calls. And Brenda and Andrea are waiting outside. And then Brenda decides to take matters into her own hands in clip 16.
What are you doing?
Yes. I'm getting Carol.
No, Andrea, please listen to me. The first time she called, it was around 10:30. Last night, she called right at 10 o'clock, right when we were leaving.
So what?
So it's 10:05. The phone could be ringing right now.
You don't know that.
That's right. And I won't know unless I get up there and answer it.
So, Andrea is convinced.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the phone could be ringing right now. You don't know that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know that the phone could be ringing right now. I think she does know that, actually. And the other thing is that they wait about 3 seconds for Carol to disappear.
Yeah.
How she could not have overheard this conversation is beyond me. I don't understand how sound works in this universe. But
yeah. So they go back in. They wait. It's almost 11. They're just about to leave. And then Brenda is all disappointed. Like, I feel like maybe, you know, it never occurs to her that the reason that this girl hasn't called back is that maybe she successfully went a night without getting assaulted. But, of course, that is not what occurred. And we hear that in clip 17.
Why do you know? It's me again.
I was hoping you'd call.
Why? so you could sit back and judge me?
No.
Or get turned on?
Look.
Or be little Miss Mary Sunshine assuring me that everything's going to be all roses and pink?
Phrasing! But furthermore, I know you're upset and obviously your life is hell, but you called me. So why are you being such a... so this
attitude? Yeah, I actually give Brenda some credit for staying on point here when this girl's like trying to bait her, but...
Mm-hmm. So the call goes on. Brenda is once again not really helpful in clip 18.
Tell me your name.
Forget it.
No, I want to know who you are.
Brenda.
Look... don't be afraid. I know it's scary, but you've got to stand up to them. You have to make this go away so they won't hurt you anymore.
You shouldn't be telling her this.
It's the truth, Andrea.
My daughter will help me.
Just with one of the other student volunteers.
You're a two-faced liar, just like the rest of them.
That's not true.
What's her name?
Andrea.
Andrea who?
Andrea Zuckerman.
So right after that, Andrea is like, not one of my bigger fans, all self-deprecating. Like, that's the joke. We get it.
Conflict of interest question.
Yes.
Should the editor of the school paper be working the rap line?
I didn't even think of that. That's a great point, Dave.
Good point.
I think no.
Although, I guess she's getting calls from kids.
Or you have
schools.
To do full disclosure every time you pick up the phone. Hello, this is the editor of the school paper. Tell me all your secrets.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not exclusively for West Beverly kids, but you're right. It's not like there's that many kids in the area. And if they're only 6 to 10.
Oh, you know those school editors. They all talk to each other.
Well, especially since Brenda is like browbeating her into giving her name. Like, that's not part of this. Like, just let her talk. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. God.
No, even in her one day of training, she should have, which training just seems to be sitting there watching. But anyway, whatever. The other thing is, like, how many people who pronounce it Andrea, does the girl know that she has to ask for the last name?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It's Andrea Kaczynski. No. So Brenda somehow, and it seriously is like a capital S somehow, because she, even though she's been saying throughout the episode she thinks she knows this girl's name, there's no evidence throughout any of it that they've had any contact. Somehow, just spilled water. She has figured out that... it's this girl, Bonnie.
That's okay. It's just over our deed to the house, Tara.
Sorry, I didn't do it on purpose.
It's this episode.
Don't worry. I'll fix the mess. You keep on talking about Beverly Hills.
Oh, God.
I'm really sorry. So,
is this going to be you and Dave's Jim and Cindy episode?
Yes. Oh, my God. We have been married 18 years. We're a year overdue.
We're absentee from helping you clean this
kind of a one-man job. Anyway.
That's what she said.
Yeah. So Brenda finds this girl, Bonnie, and completely against all of the protocol, she has definitely not had a chance to learn. She goes right on up to her and confronts her in clip 19.
Excuse me. Are you Bonnie?
Yeah. Do I know you?
Yes. I'm Brenda.
Listen, with the spirit meeting this afternoon and tonight being the last night of the grudge week, I really don't have a lot of time to talk.
Well, maybe you should make the time so you won't have to use the phone tonight. Look, a lot of what I said, I might have made it seem worse than it really was. A lot of it was kind of fun. Which part? Where he hurt you or where he brought his friend along?
Brenda, when I made those calls, I needed somebody to talk to.
And I was there for you.
Yes, you were. But on the other end of the line where I didn't have to see you and you didn't know who I was. And you changed that. If you tell anybody what I said to you, if you break your promise to me, I'll make you sorry.
Look, Bonnie, I know what you're going through. You're a sophomore. You want to be popular and you want the popular guys to go out with you.
Shut up. But it's not worth it.
Shut up!
Can't you see they're just using you?
You're jealous. You're jealous because
You're a nobody at the school. And I gotta go. Bonnie!
John, why don't you start? Because I'm exhausted.
I think we need to talk this out. I mean, for one thing, it's a pretty big leap for Brenda to assume that this girl is putting up with rape because she's worried about her social status.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Although then Bonnie completely validates that choice by going to the you're just jealous place.
Because you're a nobody. Yes.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to blame Bonnie given that A, she's been raped, and B, Brenda is violating her trust in this way that they are, she's been explicitly told not to do.
And completely victim blaming in the process, like being so angry in her manner and turning it around on Bonnie to make it seem like it's your fault for not reporting them. Like, there are lots of reasons to not report. This is still the case.
Yeah.
25 years later, like, it's not a guarantee that just because you turn someone in, they're going to get prosecuted.
Very true. Oh, and we'll get to that.
Oh, God. Yes, we will. All right. Are we comfortable moving on from here?
Yeah. Well, comfortable isn't the way I'd put it, but yes.
No. So, yeah. So it's the last night of Grudge Week, and we get another reminder that Steve is a character on this show in clip 20.
Going tug of war has always been my specialty.
Way to go, Sanders!
Hey, couldn't have done it without you guys tugging on the rope.
Ew.
Hey, what are you guys doing tonight?
Nothing special.
So these are obviously the football jocks that have been messing with Bonnie, and like, we need the scene for a reminder that they're not good guys. Think we got it.
Well, it's less than 2 minutes, I think, before they actually try to commit rape again, so I'm not sure why we needed this reveal at minute 40.
Yeah.
But sure, Steve, great, he got a scene.
Yes. Yeah. So later, Bonnie is in the darkened hallways of the school, and one of her other cheerleader friends comes over and tells her she can't walk Bonnie out to the car because these two other guys need her directions to someplace. And then Bonnie's like, I waited around for you. Can't you just walk him in a car? And the friend's like, sorry, and wanders off. And then Bonnie stands there for 10 minutes, badly acting anxiety with a capital A. And then she goes out to her car, and this happens, our final clip.
Hey, Bonnie, you need a ride?
Not tonight.
Yeah, tonight. We won. We've got to celebrate.
Please, Georgia.
What's the matter? Don't you like us? Huh?
Please.
Don't you know how much we like you? And want you?
Please.
Oh, are you gonna make us beg for it? Or are we gonna have to get nasty again?
Please.
Get in the car, Bonnie.
No.
Then we'll just have to do it standing up.
Please.
Hey, police! Now! Crackle! And put your hands in the air!
Okay, I think I know why the scene where Brenda goes behind Bonnie's back, goes to the cops, and arranges for, like, 10 squad cars and a bunch of not-in-uniform detectives to swarm the scene. Because it's absurd. Like, she has no evidence at all. And also, I don't think, like, anticipation of rape is a thing. Like, I don't understand how this could happen.
And Carol's there, too. Like, apparently she's told everyone, and they were able to throw this operation together. And speaking of no evidence, I mean, it's true the one guy, like, kind of shoves her up against the car, but they're... Good luck making that stick. Yeah. Sorry, but
boo.
No, I'm saying in all seriousness, this is not a not an accurate portrayal of what could, if someone were trying to learn something from this episode, it fails tremendously in the way it presents it. And not to victim blame too, but waiting until the entire school had gone home to walk out to a now deserted parking lot. I mean, she could have left earlier. She could have made it safely to her car. She didn't need her stupid friend. God. But anyway, I mean, that's neither here. I'm not saying this to blame an actual person because those decisions are fucked up, but the show's presentation of it is what I have a problem with.
Definitely.
It's just so shoddy.
It is. And especially since what we've seen of her friend is like, she would be no help anyway. Like, not.
No, and the whole thing is lit like, you know, it's a Buffy scene and she's actually about to get attacked by a vampire. Yes. It's just weird. I don't know.
Plus the music. I mean, anyway. So Brenda is a hero once again, just like when she saves both Betty from drowning. And that's kind of it for the episode, really. As we said earlier, this is Brenda's last time at the rap line for sure. I'm trying to think back if there was any other times that she does anything like altruistic or charitable, and no, not really.
So I mean, I hope at least like when this actually aired on TV, they showed like the number of a rape crisis, an actual rape crisis hotline at the end of it. You know,
I would hope.
I mean, that would redeem it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but if someone remembers, put it in the comments, because it's too long ago for me to.
But yeah,
That seems like the kind of thing they might have done. But yes, where you would talk to a qualified person who maybe had more than 3 months of training and wouldn't just spend your whole time talking to you, trying to get you to say who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dawson's Creek probably did a better job at researching its episode on a serial killer than this episode did on rape, and I can't really think of a better way to put it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and name our most and least valuable players for the episode. John, most valuable player.
My MVP is the payphone that respectfully let Bonnie talk without chiming in to ask for more change.
Yeah, it's definitely not Andrea, and it's not Brenda, who totally oversteps her bounds. So I guess I have to give it to Carol? I don't know. The payphone is a pretty good pick. I just don't want to steal yours. All right, least valuable player.
You can vote with it. It can be unanimous.
Least valuable player.
In a walk, it's Nat. For his own noises.
I mean, we're leaving the rapist football players out of this because that's a little obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's not a, you know, that's not a judgment call.
I got to go with Peach Pie Nina because she really added nothing to this and didn't even bone Brandon. What a jerk.
You're both wrong. The least valuable player of this episode was Tara Ariano knocking over the water.
Sorry. All right. Kim Challenge.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
John, one reason from this episode Dylan is mad, bad, slash dangerous to know.
When you clean sand out of his ear, as Brandon did, and I'm not joking, it could be toxic and give you a fatal disease.
He thinks freshman girls are puppies?
Yeah, sure does. With all the older women, he implies he stated, he probably hooked up with some married ladies, and you might get caught in the crossfire when a cuckolded husband shows up to shoot him, particularly since he's so thin that the bullet will probably miss him.
I am not 100% on board with his pro-caffeine position. That could cause a lot of health problems if you have heart condition.
Just. That's true. And his enthusiasm for dating freshman girls, as you referenced, could lead to, and I'm sorry for this, stat rape charges. And people in prison are not big fans of that, so you might run into trouble.
I'm out. Do you have more?
No, that's it.
Okay, good.
That's five.
All right. Well, I think we've all learned a lot about the gentle art of listening and also that acupuncture and acupressure are not the same thing. Join us next time. Sarah D. Bunting will return just in time for this season to figure out its timeline and finally let Brenda and Dylan start seeing each other, whether the potted plants outside the Bellage Hotel like it or not. Is Dylan also mad, bad, and dangerous to date? Find out next time.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!